Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Linda Jacobs-Washington, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. Linda, I'd like to discuss human capital management and DOT's performance in the President's management agenda. Could you elaborate on your efforts to getting to green, and what challenges did DOT have to overcome to get to this level? And what does the department need to do to sustain this overall green rating?
Well, Al, I have to tell you that I'm really proud of all of DOT's human resources staff who helped us to get to green in human capital. In fact, we have Kermit the Frog sitting in my office as a recognition that we did get to green. The first thing that we realized is that DOT's planning and management of human resources needed to be more strategic. And it was quite a challenge, if you think about this, because our department is decentralized by statute in funding and operations. We have 10 operating modes. So one of the biggest challenges was bringing everyone together so that we could have consensus and consistency. We got to green in June 2004. In our human capitals program, we share best practices, we network, we integrate programs, we identify leadership champions to strive for a one-dot focus. And that's our overall theme, one dot, because we realized that resources are limited, and so we wanted everybody to work together for the betterment of the human capital program. And I tell you, it's very basic as to what we need to continue to do, and that's what we've done in the past. Continue with the strategic focus, continue to work together. I mean, it's a simple strategy, but it's one that works.
So along the similar lines, can you give us an overview of DOT's human capital strategy and how the strategy aligns and complements the department's mission, goals, and the organizational objectives?
Absolutely. You know, when DOT issued a strategic plan, we at the same time issued our strategic human capital plan. Sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So what we do in human capital then is directly linked to the department's missions and goals. Through department-wide efforts and specific input from leadership, there's unprecedented emphasis on human capital. Let me give you an example. Under our DOT Environmental Stewardship strategic goal, the human capital strategy is to ensure we hire individuals with skills in the areas of energy, environment, urban and regional planning, economic development, environmental sciences, and environmental law. So we're doing that through in support of each one of the strategic goals from the department.
Linda, in a similar vein, could you tell us about DOT's efforts to develop and implement a department-wide performance management system which aligns employee performance expectation with organizational goals and objectives, and also addresses poor performance?
Sure. With the advent of the President's Management Agenda in 2002, we established a Performance Management Task Force in DOT with representatives from all of the operating administrations. We asked them to devise an improvement strategy and to benchmark best practices to develop a work environment based on good performance. Using that task force, we revised the department's performance management and awards and recognition programs. We also mandated supervisory training that included performance expectations, performance distinctions, and identifying and dealing with poor performers, and then we held managers accountable for the same. Now, you know, really, poor performers are a challenge to any organization. And we recognized that most managers are typically trained in leadership skills, but not how to deal with poor performers. And it's not easy to deal with poor performers. You know, I used to say, if you don't get butterflies in your stomach when you're having a tough conversation with someone, or you're trying to hold someone accountable, then you're not really caring about the individual. So we want to care about the individual, but also deal with them and to help them and to coach them into being a good performer. Another challenge we had is that we moved from a pass-fail performance rating system to a five-tiered performance rating system. And that way we could recognize top-performing staff and identify employees that need additional coaching. Now, you can imagine that for years we had a pass-fail system, and now we're going to five tiers, which really delineates your performance. That was a challenge to get the employees to buy in on that. We're there now, and we're continuing to work through that. The secretary has also been involved, and she's been instrumental in keeping a focus on our leadership performance culture. She highlighted performance management in a video broadcast to employees on the Federal Human Capital Survey, and she endorsed our Best Practices Forum, in which the Federal Highway Administration and the Federal Railroad Administration addressed approximately 200 senior leaders and employees on improving the performance management program, linking recognition with performance and dealing with poor performance. So basically, what is this thing called performance management culture? Well, it's everything that we do, and it's everything that we do has to be focused on performance, and that makes sense. If we're to reach our goals, we have to have optimum performance from all of our employees.
Excellent. Now, could you tell us about your succession planning model? Specifically, what are the measures of success for the leadership planning model, and what are some of the critical factors impacting DOT's succession planning approach?
Well, DOT is like every other agency and probably like many private sector organizations. We know that the baby boomers are approaching retirement, and you've heard that over and over again. In fact, experts say that 50% of our federal workforce is eligible for retirement in the next 5 years. So with this information, our succession plan identifies key positions that are critical to DOT. We assess the skill sets needed for our current and future operations and then identify training needs. We developed a long-term approach using mentoring and rotational assignments, and we give opportunities to our current staff for cross-training. Based on the department's workforce analyses and strategic human capital planning, we developed a succession management guide called, officially, the Departmental Leadership Succession Planning Model.
Is there an acronym for that?
No, please. No more acronyms. The objective of this model is to ensure a continuous pipeline, a DOT term, of internal and external talent for leadership positions at all levels. The critical factors that impact DOT succession planning are leadership commitment and accountability, including a communication strategy, because we know that communication is key, because we want to create an awareness and maintain a vision of succession planning throughout the department. At DOT, we believe that filling the leadership pipeline depends on current leaders taking responsibility for developing their potential successors.
On a related topic, what is the Transportation Career Residency Program, and to what extent is this program designed to provide a developmental vehicle for DOT and its future leaders and expand entry-level hiring for DOT in mission-critical occupations?
You know, it sounds like a big task. However, I'll make this very simple. The department's Transportation Career Residency Program started in 2005. And this is simply a vehicle for managers to hire the next generation into mission-critical occupations. So with 36% of DOT senior leaders eligible to retire, this program simply allows us to be proactive in developing employees who will have the skills to fill those shoes. Career residents get on-the-job training and classroom training. They are also required to participate in rotational assignments with the operating administrations in our department. And I'll tell you, I've hired three in my organization, and they are excellent additions to my staff. So the program is really working, and I can give a personal testament to that.
Linda, along similar lines, it's well known that the competition for talent hits both the federal government as well as the private sector sort of equally. So what changes are you making to the recruitment process over at DOT, and does the agency use flexible compensation strategies to help attract and retain employees who might possess these mission-critical skills that you talk about, such as engineering, safety, and project management?
You know, we have enhanced our recruitment efforts to educate those interested in joining DOT, because we want to make people aware of the many opportunities available at our agency. It's an exciting place to work. You know, in a survey of college students released by the Partnership for Public Service, only 13% of them were knowledgeable about government jobs. However, an overwhelming 70% were more likely to consider a career in government after speaking to a recruiter or a professor. That's why we are putting so much emphasis on recruiting. In fact, I was just at a recruiting panel at a George Mason University, and it was great interfacing with the students there. Folks at my level are also reaching out and being a part of the recruitment effort. Everyone in DOT has a responsibility and plays a role in the recruitment of new employees. We're also taking advantage of the compensation flexibilities available to federal agencies to attract and also retain quality employees. Now, guys, I have to tell you, I'm going to put in a little plug here. If any of your listening audience is interested in a career at the center of one of America's greatest resources, transportation, and a career that combines personal growth and opportunity with vital national importance, visit our careers website at www.careers.dot.gov. We're looking for motivated people with new ideas, people who want to make a difference to ensure our transportation system combines our efforts and continues to lead the world in that area.
Well, I'm going to choose my words carefully here, but in general, younger employees tend to have different attitudes, behaviors, and expectations around their careers and certainly around the workplace. Overall, they tend to be a bit more flexible. There's a higher incidence of them moving, and therefore there's an expectation that they may change employers or jobs several times in their careers. And they're also looking for more flexibility from their employers and greater support in the workplace. Could you elaborate on DOT's efforts to meet this sort of challenge with this new and younger workforce?
I would love to, and that's a wonderful question. I'm glad you asked it. We've listened to younger employees at DOT. One priority for them is balancing work life, as you mentioned. We offer work schedules with flexible arrival and departure times and shortened work weeks. We have a great telecommuting program that allows our employees to work from home. You know, this is a win-win for everyone. It helps us meet our national goal of reducing congestion, and it allows employees more time in their private lives. Another priority is the work environment. And we are so proud of our new headquarters building. It has a fabulous 9-story atrium flooded with natural light to conserve energy. It has a wonderful open office environment that promotes and supports greater interaction. And you know what? Health and safety are also priorities. So we have a state-of-the-art fitness center, a world-class cafeteria, and 21st-century ergonomic furniture. Our new facility was the first cabinet-level agency building built post-September 11th and offers us a secure building which is reflected in the design and construction.
That's fantastic. What steps has DOT taken to improve the management of its real property? We will ask Linda Washington, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the U.S. Department of Transportation, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.